Sun's Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 32 days away to the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Olympics. Team Nigeria will travel to Japan, hoping to win its first Olympic medal in athletics in 13 years. Yes, we have to go back to the 2008 Beijing Games to find Nigerian medal winners in track and field. Nigeria's 4x100 meters women's relay team won a silver in China, and Blessing Okagbare won another silver in the women's long jump. Now 32 years old, Blessing is hoping to bless Nigeria with another Olympic medal in Tokyo. She will be one of the leaders of Team Nigeria after the country held its Olympic track and field trials in Lagos. Joining us now from Lagos is Iron Mike Mbonye. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 12 athletes have qualified to represent Nigeria at the Tokyo Olympic Games. The athletes and the female 4x100 relay team booked their tickets at the 4-day Athletics Federation of Nigeria Olympic Trials and Invitational Relays. The track meet was organized by the Federal Minister of Youth and Sports. Dare Eson, the editor of Lagos-based Complete Sports newspaper, says the athletics championship was a huge success.
We had some fast times recorded, a lot of championship records broken. Like, for example, in the 100 meters, Blessing Okagbare broke our own championship record of 11.02. Then in the 100 meters men too, it wasn't a record, it was a championship record, but it was the second fastest time run in the final of the championship. Remember, the fastest man, as far as the championship is concerned, in terms of record, is still the Jaliu, who ran 998 in 2003, just before the All-African Games in Abuja. So it was a very, 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 very successful championship.
A son who has covered many athletics championships says two of the 12 athletes that qualify to represent Nigeria are home-based athletes.
Yes, we have 12 athletes that have qualified to represent Nigeria at the Olympics. And the interesting thing about this is that we have two from home. We call them home-based athletes who also qualified running their times at home because they both qualified in the 100 meters, then one of them in both the 100 and the 200. So aside from Blessing, like you asked, we have Blessing Okagbare in the 100 and 200 meters. We have Toby Amuson in the 100 meters hurdles. Remember, she was in the final of the World Championship 2 years ago in Doha. We have Annette Echewonke in the hammer. This is the first time we're having a hammer thrower represent Nigeria at the Olympics. We have Ruth Uzoro in the long jump and the triple jump. I'm sure you still remember, and your listeners remember Ruth Uzoro. She just won the triple jump in the NCAA in her first time of competing in the NCAA. And she's the first Nigerian woman to also qualify for the Olympics in both the long jump and the triple jumps.
Chief Tony Osheku, a Lagos-based athletics coach, says the Nigerian athletics team is focused, motivated, and will pull surprises at the Tokyo Games.
Looking at this Nigerian team, the Minister of Sports, Honorable Sunday Dare, has done a lot, you know, to encourage, you know, the athletes. And I believe there will be a lot of surprises in Tokyo next month. We have, you know, some young athletes that have not been to Nigeria, based in diaspora. They came, you know, for this trial just not to make Nigerian team for the first time. However, they did very well. They made the team. You never know what's going to happen at the Olympics. But I believe a lot of Nigerian athletes will make it to the finals at the Olympics.
Osheku says the athletics team has potential to surpass the record of the 1996 team, which won the highest number of medals for Team Nigeria in an Olympic Games.
I still remember if I may recall, in 1996 Olympics held in Atlanta, most people did not expect Nigeria athletes to do very well. But at that Olympics, I don't know if I should call that Olympics as the best Olympic for Nigeria, because that was the Olympics where Chioma Ajuma won Nigerian first gold. That same Olympics, Falola Tokunkoya won Nigerian first individual medal in the 400 meters. And Mary Anyali won another medal in the 200 meters. And our 4x4 won the silver medal, 321.04, which is still African record. We did very well. And I believe this Olympics, we're going to have a lot of athletes in the finals. And I believe some of our athletes know we medal, like the names I mentioned.
Osheku says some Nigerian athletes have chances of qualifying for the Olympic Games because there will be two athletics championships scheduled for Lagos in June. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is I am Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ran the best quarter mile in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Falilat. The United States is holding its Olympic track and field trials this week in the northwestern U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. Highlighting some of the weekend action, Allyson Felix, the most decorated American woman in Olympic track and field history, qualified for her fifth Olympics in the women's 400 meters. With a late kick, the 35-year-old Felix surged past two runners down the stretch and finished just behind Quanera Hayes in a time of 50.02 seconds. Allyson Felix has won six Olympic gold medals and three silver medals during her great career on the track. This will be her first Olympics as a mother. She gave birth to a daughter, Cameron, in 2018. Still with the women's 400 meters, Chloe Abbott, who Gwen Uten profiled on the Sunny Side of Sports June 17th, did not qualify for Team USA. Abbott was not able to advance from her early qualifying heat. In another big highlight from the U.S. Olympic track and field trials, reigning Olympic champion Ryan Krauser set a new world record in the men's shot put with a throw of 23 meters 37. Krauser added 25 centimeters to the world record set by fellow American Randy Barnes in 1990.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Tokyo Olympic organizers have decided to allow some local fans to attend the games when they open in just over a month. The AP's Charles de Ledesma reports.
The move goes against the country's top medical advisor, who has recommended the safest process during the COVID-19 pandemic is to go without any fans. Fans from abroad were banned several months ago. Now Japanese organizers have set a limit of 50% of capacity, up to a maximum of 10,000 fans for all Olympic venues. Officials say fans will be under strict rules. They'll not be allowed to cheer, must wear masks, and are being told to go straight home after events. Tokyo and other areas are under quasi-emergency status until July 11. The Olympics are set to open July 23. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with a big package of African and international football news. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. The Confederation of African Football plans to launch a Super League despite the failures of the project in Europe. CAF President Patrice Motsepe said the league was needed to improve the game in Africa while generating revenue for the organization. Motsepe took on the job in March, said in a statement, and I quote, "We have been following the attempts by some top European clubs to form a Euro Super League and we learned from the experience and pitfalls," end of quote. FIFA President Gianni Infantino raised the idea first in 2019, saying it would comprise 20 permanent member clubs with additional teams that would qualify via regional playoffs, predicting the tournament would bring in around $3 billion over a five-year period. This comes in the wake of negative supporter reaction, as well as sanctions from UEFA preventing European giants including Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, Barcelona and Real Madrid from launching a Super League recently. There has been some activities in the summer transfer window as Europe's biggest clubs look to make a splash in the transfer market. Canada-born defender of Nigerian descent Fikayo Tomori penned a four-year deal completing a permanent move from Chelsea to Serie A giants AC Milan after a successful loan spell in Italy. The 23-year-old joined Chelsea in 2016 but made just four appearances last season after falling out of favour with the Blues' previous coach Frank Lampard. Tomori joins AC Milan, who finished second in Serie A last season, marking a return to Champions League football for the first time since the 2013-2014 season. Ashley Young has also joined Aston Villa on a free transfer, marking an emotional return to the Claret and Blue after spending a decade at Manchester United and Inter Milan.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Ghana international Andre Ayew is also set to leave Swansea City after their unsuccessful Premier League quest. The 31-year-old parts ways with the Jack Army as a free agent, his contract having run out at the end of the 2020-2021 season. Ayew first joined the Welsh outfit from Olympique Marseille in 2015 and leaves on a high after finishing the campaign as the club's top scorer, just as he did the season before. His Ghanaian teammate Majid Ashimeru also cut ties with Austrian giants Red Bull Salzburg before joining Belgian outfit Anderlecht on a permanent basis. The 23-year-old penned a four-year deal with the Movies, having initially joined them on loan in January, after struggling to hold down a regular playing position at Salzburg. Champions League winners Chelsea are also set to begin talks with French star of Malian descent N'Golo Kanté of a new contract following his Champions League final heroics. The 30-year-old midfield maestro played a starring role in the Porto final to help Thomas Tuchel's men defeat Manchester City and has since become a favourite at Stamford Bridge since his 2016 move from Leicester City, winning two Premier League titles, two Europa League titles and the Champions League. Wales defender of Ghanaian descent Ethan Ampadu became the youngest player in European Championship history to be shown a straight red card. The 20-year-old Chelsea youngster looked devastated after being shown a straight red following a challenge on Italian winger Federico Benedeschi in the 55th minute. Captain Gareth Bale consoled the wonder kid, who spent last season at Sheffield United on loan, as he left the pitch with his shirt over his face. Matteo Pessina had earlier scored for the Italians to make it three wins out of three at the Euro 2020 tournament by beating the Dragons 1-0 to finish top of Group A, extending the Azzurri's unbeaten run to 30 games, a feat last achieved under two-time World Cup winning coach Vittorio Pozzo between 1935 and 1939. Bayern Munich's record goal scorer Robert Lewandowski also scored his first goal of Euro 2020 to help Poland secure a 1-1 draw against Spain and keep alive their hopes of reaching the knockouts. The Eagles fell behind when Alvaro Morata's close-range finish was given by VAR, but Lewandowski, who had failed to make an impact in Poland's defeat to Slovakia, equalized through a header. Five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo is also three goals clear as Euro all-time top scorer after scoring a goal against Germany, who emerged as eventual winners after defeating Portugal 4-2 at the Euro 2020 tournament. CR7 earlier scored twice against Hungary to overtake Michel Platini's long-standing record and has now set his eyes on breaking Iranian striker's early days international goal-scoring record, which stands at 109 goals. The Juventus forward is Portugal's all-time leading top scorer and has also netted 674 in 896 games at club level.
This is the voice of America.
Danish soccer player Christian Eriksen surprised his teammate with a visit after a successful heart operation at a Copenhagen hospital, giving everyone a hug in the process. The Inter Milan playmaker suffered a cardiac arrest during Denmark's first Euro 2020 game against Finland and was discharged from the hospital after being fitted with an implantable heart monitoring device meant to prevent similar incidents in the future. Although Denmark lost to Finland and Belgium in their first two opening fixtures, they still have a chance to advance from Group B with a win over the national team of Russia in a match scheduled to be played today at the Parken Stadium. As for the remainder of Eriksen's career, the 29-year-old will require special dispensation to return to action at Inter Milan, since the Italian Olympic Committee, a body responsible for governing all sports in the country, bans players from taking to the field with internal defibrillators. And finally, moving on to the Major League Soccer, Raul Ruiz and Yemar Gomez both recorded their names on the score sheet to help the Seattle Sounders secure a 2-1 victory over LA Galaxy and extend their longest unbeaten start to a season in team history. Austin FC's inaugural match at the Q2 Stadium also ended in a goalless draw against the San Jose Earthquakes, while Marvin Loria and Dairon Asprilla both scored to ensure Portland beat Kansas City 2-1. Atlanta United also secured a 2-2 draw against Philadelphia. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
In African club football, Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa and reigning title holder Al Ahly of Egypt are in good position to advance to the CAF Champions League final after scoring first leg semi-final road victories over the weekend in Morocco and Tunisia, respectively. In Casablanca, Kaizer Chiefs beat Wydad Club Athletic of Morocco 1-0 on a first-half goal by the Serbian Samir Nurkovic. Nurkovic found the net in the 33rd minute. The goal was awarded after a successful video assistant referee review that overturned an initial decision for offside. And in Tunis, Al Ahly defeated Esperance 1-0 on a goal by Mohamed Sharif in the 66th minute. The decisive second leg semifinal matches are scheduled for Saturday, June 26th, when Al Ahly will host Esperance in Cairo and Kaizer Chiefs will host Wydad in Johannesburg. Elsewhere in African club football, Karen Chaula recently made history when she became the first female head coach in Malawi's Super League. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Lamek Messina reports from Blantyre, Malawi. Sporty greetings, Lamek.
A sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Indeed, Sunny, 43-year-old Karen Chaula has made history here in Malawi by becoming the country's first female coach for a team in the country's elite league, the Super League. The appointment of Chaula to coach the Ntobwa Football Club has also excited gender rights campaigners. It came a few days after the appointment of Martha Jizuma as the first female to head the country's anti-corruption bureau. Chaula was working as a development officer for the club. She replaced a male coach who joined another Super League club. However, Chaula had a tough start. Chaula says she endured insults from supporters during her first ever assignment when her team played against Chitipa United at Kalonga Stadium in northern Malawi.
I was on the touchline. People were insulting me. They were insulting the technical director. You, Mr. Jomo, you're mad. How could you come up to say a woman must stand on your touchline? You never make it because you're using a woman. I just felt it to say people, they don't know what they're talking about.
In recent years, Karen Chaula coached Ntobwa's under-17 and under-20 male football teams. She says she has helped nurture some of the under-20 players when they were preparing to enter the senior national football team.
I was assessing each player by the position and the roles. It can be more like I'm boosting, but I'm not boosting myself. But I'm saying this to say women can also do what men can do in a career.
Karen Chaula says being the first woman to coach the team in the Super League is a dream come true, and she will work hard to prove her critics wrong. Jomo Osman owns Ntobwa FC and is a technical director for the club. He says he appointed Chaula not only for her potential, but also to continue empowering women.
And I want to show the world that this is high time that we're going to empower women. A lot of people are just talking about empowering. They are not empowering women. So to me, I want to show the world that Jomo is one of the pioneers who wants to empower women. When you see my background, I have a girls' team. It's part of empowering women.
Ntobwa FC owner Jomo Osman says Chaula will not walk alone, and that's why he has not given her any target to meet.
I didn't take challenge to come to Ntobwa and leave everything in her arms. No, we need somewhere somehow to help her. You know, football is about learning. Every day we learn new things. So inside this journey, there are some of the things that Karen cannot know, Jomo knows. So as the owner of the club, I'm going to help her in somewhere somehow.
Some critics have questioned Chaula's credentials. She possesses a Confederation of African Football C license, while a minimum requirement for the country's Super League team coach is a CAF B license. But the General Secretary for Malawi's Super League, Williams Banda, says for now, this is not a problem.
What is happening currently is that CAF is yet to conduct refresher courses or coaching trainings. Even those which be, they might have expired. So let's accept and let's see how she performs. And once the CAF B license training is conducted, you almost join and see how we can perform.
Football analyst and author of the book Football in Malawi, Peter Kinskaila, says Chaula will have a huge task coaching against men who have vowed never to be defeated by a woman.
It will be difficult for her to beat teams that are coached by men. If that happens, it means the male coaches will be sleeping, because the motivating factor to them that we can't be beaten by a team that is coached by a woman.
Kaila is also a former player of Malawi's national football team. He says one key test will be how the male players respond to Chaula's instructions.
Because we believe women are inferior. But now here is a lady who is commanding them. Can you run? Can you jump? Will they take that seriously to say the coach has commanded us to do this? So it is also a litmus test for football players.
Kaila says the best thing Chaula should do is to work against all odds and save her team from relegation. Ntobwa FC is near the bottom of the league table. He says this will help her start on a clean slate next season, when she will be fairly judged for her performance. Critics and skeptics aside, Chaula has full support from gender rights campaigners in Malawi, who have described her appointment as another breakthrough in the fight for gender equality. National coordinator for the NGO Gender Coordinating Network, Barbara Banda, is urging Karen Chaula to succeed.
You have set a standard. Go out there and continue to make us proud. Don't look back and claim your space. Make sure that you are a no-nonsense person. Be professional and make sure that whatever these guys are being paid at the same level as you, you are also equally entitled to that.
Banda says from now on, she'll be supporting the team Karen Chaula is coaching. For VOA's Sunny Side of Sports, This is Lamech Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamech. In Malawi Super League results Sunday, Karen Chaula and Entopwa FC lost to Blue Eagles 2-0. Entopwa remains near the bottom of the table. It is 15th out of 16 teams. A new documentary showcases the stars of the world champion U.S. women's national soccer team and their pursuit for equal pay. The athletes spoke about their ongoing fight against gender discrimination last week at the film's premiere. VOA's Gwen Uten has more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. In 2019, 28 members of the world champion U.S. women's soccer team filed a lawsuit against the country's soccer federation for, quote, institutionalized gender discrimination. In the complaint, the women argued that despite playing in more tournaments and outperforming the men's national team, the women were consistently paid drastically less. The disparity was punctuated that same year when the women lifted their record fourth World Cup trophy. Meanwhile, the men had failed to qualify for the World Cup tournament the previous year. A new documentary entitled LFG follows the women's 2019 World Cup victory and their ongoing fight for equal pay. Last week, those involved with the film were on the red carpet for the premiere at the Tribeca Festival in New York, where producer and director Andrea Nix said she chose the title LFG for its power as the team's rallying cry.
We learned that their cry before they stepped on the field was LFG, right? Let's up and go. And it just seemed to embody who they are. It's that moment right before you look each other in the eye and you're like, are we doing this? We're doing this. Let's go. And it just felt perfect for this. And so I really wanted to have something. I mean, for us, it's not just about this one film. It's sort of the whole movement of going forward and asking for what you deserve and the value that you deserve.
The years-long battle over gender-based pay has placed the women's team at the forefront in the fight for equality in sports. One of the star players leading the effort is Megan Rapinoe, who says she hopes women will see themselves authentically represented in the film.
I hope for a lot of women out there, they sort of see themselves in this, and we do a good job of representing them as well, because we obviously know not everybody gets to stand where I'm standing with, you know, this mic and have a movie, but so many people, so many women around the world go through the exact same things that we're going through.
And Rapinoe says their fight gives a voice to the voiceless in society at large.
You know, when all of society for all your life tells you that you're lesser than, it takes an extraordinary amount of probably irrational confidence to just to not accept that. So I hope people understand the sort of human toll of all of this, you know, for men and for women. And, you know, we'll get on board if you're not already on board. But I think for women out there to feel that they're, you know, spoken for and they have a voice as well.
Teammate Jessica McDonald told reporters she didn't hesitate to be part of the film. And as a woman and mother, she felt it was necessary to shine a spotlight on pay discrimination.
Every woman, like, on this globe can literally relate to what we're going through. No matter what job we have, we get paid less than our male counterparts. And so this is a true fight. This is a historical fight. And it's nice to see that everybody globally has our backs. And so at the end of the day, we're fighting for the little girls who want to be in our shoes. We're fighting for every woman out there who's scraping pennies, trying to make ends meet. At the end of the day, I've been there. I've done that. And so now I'm here to fight for that. I'm here to fight for equality. I'm here to fight until literally the day I die.
And their fight for equality continues. In 2020, a judge dismissed claims that the players were underpaid compared with the men's national team. But in April of this year, the women issued an appeal for the ruling to be overturned and their claims of unequal pay to be reinstated. The women's team is gearing up for the Tokyo Games next month when they will compete for a fifth Olympic gold medal. Meanwhile, the film LFG will begin streaming on HBO Max on June 24th. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that June 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.